This is Navigate with ID.
Brought to you by Corporate Shepherds.
Okay, friends, thanks for tuning in again. And it's a great, great, great day. I know that many of us are probably held up in one form of work or the other. And then for those of us that are snoozing, good for you. The weather gives the right kind of mood.
Yeah.
But please do not oversleep, overslumber. There's work to be done. Anyway, we've been looking at this beautiful theme of succession planning and management. And that's where we were last week. And we had interesting conversations. And for the benefit of those who are joining the first time, if you want to catch up with what we had shared on this program and the subject, you can go to the website www.navigatewithid.com and you'll see the podcast that we have there of the previous episodes, and you can equally, you know, sign up and listen to the previous. So we're moving on. This week is slightly different because I'll be looking at family-owned businesses. You know, we're looking at succession planning and management, and I recall one or two questions, and I also recall getting mails from some people asking questions around, what about family-owned businesses? How do we equate succession planning or get to use such within the ambits of family businesses? I mean, I was having a chat with a friend of mine early this morning, and I said, tell me about a Nigerian business that is in its second or third generation. And he said to me, I mean, when I say Nigerian, I'm talking wholeheartedly Nigerian. I'm not talking about our friends from other countries who have a Nigerian naturalized and are Nigerians by descent, naturalization, I beg your pardon, and who would easily say to you that they've done well. But I tell you, it fascinates me when I look back and I say, you know, many years ago, growing up in this city of Lagos, I recall loads and loads. I don't want to embarrass anyone, so I'm not going to call up names, but there were family names, there were family-owned businesses that were there, where you had the major business, the spearhead of the family. The minute that person, you know, dies, the business leader, the visioner dies, what happens? The entire empire crumbles. And yet, right, before then, you would have seen all kinds and all manner of things. So the big question is, why is it that Nigerian businesses do not walk through the second into the second and third generations? This is to avoid you and I rocking that same boat. You know, when I talk about productivity, that's where we're coming from. You know, if you don't have anything at all, you must think sustainability. Anything you do, if you don't think about sustainability, then you are practically living in the now. And when you live in the now, you're not thinking about the future. And when you don't think about the future, the chances are that you may, of necessity, find yourself in the wrong space. So, as we go through this, I hope this will help you, you know, galvanize a different kind of thinking. But before I go into the main subject of succession planning and management in family-owned businesses, I think it would be proper to even set the tone and keep, you know, put this on the front burner by asking ourselves some very valid questions or having some definitions. I looked up family-owned business as a definition from the Encyclopedia of Business. And what I term FOB, that is family-owned business, it is defined as any business in which two or more family members are involved and the majority of ownership or control lies within a family. Now, that tells you that any business in which two or more family members are involved. Do you know that as little as my brother and I coming together to do some business together, we have actually started an FOB? But we don't see it that way because, now my brother, now my sister, no worry. Let's come together and just do something. We just see most of those things in the short, small, without any sustainability and futuristic approach. It's also in our psyche that we are now people. Ask anyone to do something today that has to do with business and is going to bring his family members around is because he or she is thinking about the now. He or she is never thinking about the future. Most of us, I'm talking about us within our climb. But here's the interesting bit. In every county, community or country, family-owned businesses are probably the oldest form of business organizations. If we take this and come to our own local setting here in Nigeria, you realize that in the very early days, it was very fashionable to have farmlands. In fact, ownership of farmlands formed the basis of family businesses to spring up. I remember also that way back when my dad used to tell, give me some stories about my grandfather, that's my paternal grandfather. And I've said that to you before, I used to wonder why would this man have 7 wives? That's my paternal grandfather. I must let you know that it was the vast farmland this man had was one of the factors that actually led him to marrying 7 wives. Now, wrong as it may sound, it was the industry at that time. That at that early stage, now I'm going way back to tell you about some of the origins. So, to tell you that every single portion of land where the man had to, he had a cassava plantation, and from where I come from, we have the palm plantation where he will have loads and loads and acres of land. And one of the things that you found industry was always the ability to have more stakeholders. And in this case, who would you consider the best set of managers for any business empire? You would also see that women are very critical. And also growing up, in Lagos here, you'll find that a lot of industry comes from the women. Women are very industrious. Women are the ones that actually hold this kennel so very well that they are the grinding force that make everything happen from a productivity standpoint. So, if you look at it, as we started moving from farmlands, we got into trading. Thanks to our colonial masters, when the British came in here, the only thing they brought to us was trading. And so a lot of families went into this whole notion of trading, and family businesses sprang up from there, and we began to trade. But I bet you in the ancient times, we did trade, but it was barter. Give me your goat, and I will give you something that is opposite. So it is not to say that trading wasn't there, but it wasn't as refined as we had when we now stepped into we had the inroads of our colonial masters. So you then see that this began to form the basis for proper business organizations that families may have put themselves into. So don't forget that this program is about succession planning and management, and we are looking at family-owned businesses. And for some of you young people out there, right now, you may have started something because of COVID, or this year your brother and your cousin decided that you guys would team up. Folks, if you don't realize it, you have just started an FOB. You need to do it well. When I mean FOB, is family-owned business. That's how it starts. But because we just see it as now, make we just quick job. Let's do some quick deals. You never think strategically that this thing that is so small a seed can become a mighty oak tree in the future. And so, when we don't take those things seriously, there are certain issues that hit. I'm going to start from those issues, and they are fundamental issues, so that you understand what you need to do, so that when we cross over to the other side and we want to talk about succession planning and management, you must look at some things that you must of necessity think about. What are those things? Number one, I'm talking about issues in family business. The first issue I find in family businesses is around employment. Many family businesses have problems determining guidelines and qualifications for family members who hope to work for the business. Many business owners limit participation of people to in-laws. Oh, now my in-law, make it come, I beg. That is my in-law. There's always one in-law and they all turn out to become outlaws. That in the long run, they become outlaws. They come in as in-laws and later on, they find them as outlaws. And this is in order to minimize potential for conflicts. Let's pause there for a second. You come together, two brothers or a brother and sister or two cousins, whatever form or shape you want to dice it, you can take it. I'm just giving you an analogy. So let's take the part of two brothers. Two brothers come together, they form a business, and they kick off. Who are they going to employ? Just in there, these two brothers, by the way, are married. So they both have wives, and they would have children. But guess what will happen? Who will be their first set of employees? In-laws. The wife will say, honey, you know that my brother has finished school set since he has nothing to do. Or he finished youth service. The other one will say, you know that XYZ has been at home since he finished. He's there now. Let him come and start now. At all. And what do? We absorb them without checking for skills, for capability, and for anything. We forget the original intent that we had was to make profit and to grow. We just decided to get emotional about family line evangelism, using in-laws as the bait. Family businesses often face pressure to hire relatives or close friends who may actually lack the skill and ability to make useful contributions to the business. Once you hire substandard family members, they become a mighty piece of bone. As small as a piece of bone will be in your throat, will be discomforting. You know, fish bone. Have you ever had the bone of a fish get stuck in your throat? That's exactly what a substandard family member will become. You will be so uncomfortable. Why? Because they are difficult to fire. Even if they are costing the company money, even if they are unproductive, even if they are so lousy, or they even reduce the motivation of other employees by exhibiting very poor attitude. What do? Manage it like that. Because this family member is my sister, is my wife's immediate younger sister, my sister-in-law, my brother-in-law, my cousin-in-law. Oh, no, my nephew. No, my niece. No, my cousin. No, my second cousin. We go on and on without really thinking through. Friends, ask yourself, why is it that Nigeria cannot boast of second, third generational businesses? Why? Why is it so? It is because the foundation is destroyed. There's nothing the righteous can do. So I'm picking up one salient issue, which is around employment. So what would you need to do differently? What you need to do differently is to find a way to enact a strict policy guiding employment. You must have a strict policy guiding employment, especially focusing on legitimate qualifications and skills and competencies. You must. If you have such, then you can guarantee that you are about to build a mosaic structure or business that would outlive you. But if you don't from the beginning, then you know you are about to hit the rock at some point. Now, in putting this strict policy in place, it must be applied without compromise. So, what am I saying to you, my friends? If you are sitting down and you and your brother or your cousin or a family member are about to get into some business, do not compromise anything. Starting from the point of employment, make sure even if you want to hire a family member, that person must fit the bill. And he or she must go through the mill like every other person. Let it be a contest of the fittest, the brightest, and the best. Not the mumuest or the foolishest of the foolish. Imagine what we do to hurt ourselves. And later on, we say, my business don't work. I gave you a blatant case now that I talked about. When you carry a substandard family member to become your staff, many times some people even make the mistake of just turning around and saying, make him the GM, automatically promote the person to be general manager. And the guy builds this big call card. He writes there, general manager, extraordinary. And when he comes in, they are calling him GM. He says, yes, that is me. He has no skill, no competence, no ability. But guess what? The business will crash. The guy is a disaster going somewhere to happen. Why? Because you'll be piling costs. You'll be collecting bank loans. He will tell you every time, give you excuses because you're not there to monitor. You have entrusted that business into his hands. So he will tell you, bros, market no good. COVID don't come. So we know customers, they don't come. So we need another 100 million. You will go to the bank and say, can I get a facility for 50? Then I can roll over twice. I'll take the first tranche now. You bring the first 50 million. The whole thing will swallow you home. He's living large, enjoying himself. He has no clue. And what happens? One day, you may decide to just walk there, or auditors walk in there to audit the accounts of the company, and you realize that you hired a monkey because you pay peanuts. The place to pay peanuts is when you employ the wrong people all in the name of family. I'm not against you hiring family members, friends. But if you are starting young people now, whoever you are starting with, small, medium, and is a family member or any member at all, make sure that employment is guarded with a strict policy within that context. All right? Number two, compensation and benefits, what you term salaries and compensation. You know what typically happens in family businesses? There is no structure. They might just look at, Eve, this is my sister's younger daughter. How are you, Eve? How much do you want me to pay you? Uncle, it's just 250 is not bad. It's in there. It said 250. Okay, accountant, that is HR maker 250. That is our salary. That is what we do. And you wonder how people get compensated for doing nothing. Paying salaries and profit sharing can be a huge challenge for small businesses. I'm talking about family-owned businesses. Most times, the conflict comes when the business owner doesn't see the need to invest the profit back in the business for expansion purposes. So a business, you see a typical family line of business where older relatives, where the relatives would have been part of the pie, year one, year two. When you bring in the family members, you pay them salary according to what my mother told me. You might come from home and say, Namdi, James, John, your cousin or nephew or niece told me that you are paying her only 100,000. Why now? And yet, that Calabar boy from Ikotekwene, you are paying him 150. Why? Mom, that's not good now. Pay him something better. You say, okay, mama, I've heard. Your mother is sitting at home, has no clue about how a business is run. She just tells you, brings emotions of mother. You are paying my son less than, you are paying your cousin less than, you are paying that boy from that. It's not fair. You get to the office, first thing, you ask your secretary, call me the admin manager, increase his salary by 50,000. They say, can we write the letter? On what grounds, sir? Are you questioning my integrity? Why does that happen? It's because the family have seen, they are there, profit sharing. They say, we must share the profit. Ask yourself, are you in this business for the long haul? Or you are just in it now to say bye-bye to it? So, here is my advice. All of this, I'm just pushing some of these little ones away so that maybe on Thursday when we deal with the big issues or what we should not do, then you know what we should do. To ensure salaries and compensation or compensation and benefits are equitably and fairly distributed across the organization, regardless of who, what, wherever they've come from, even if they are from your backyard, your front yard, or side yard, I don't care. It must be fairly and equitably distributed. So here's what you're going to do. If you are in that family ownership space or business, make sure that you take match the offering with industry guidelines. Look through the industry in which you are serving or servicing. Look at the comparative compensation and benefits as it is, as a benchmark. So, for example, you are in oil and gas. What is the fair industry guideline as regards certain roles? If you are in agric, what is it? If you are in manufacturing, what is it? You know, there are different cadres in manufacturing. So what is it? What would an engineer, a chief engineer, earn in a manufacturing concern that has two lines? I mean, or three lines, or has composite lines? A chief engineer in a manufacturing setting that is sitting with a composite line structure cannot be the same with a one line that is just, almost like a cottage manufacturing plant. You can't pay them the same salary. And so you use that to compensate anybody that is from the family or any member of your team, and things will work well. Let me talk about the third item. The third item, almost like these are the things that the little foxes that destroy the vine, is the whole conflict between family and non-family employees. So it's almost with family versus non-family employees. It's almost the same kind of challenge you have in church between volunteer workers and the staff. These ones will say, I'm a staff. This one will say, we are not collecting money. So we can, everybody feels threatened. But in the family-owned business, this can be a major, major issue. Attracting and retaining non-family employees is a major challenge because serious-minded employees, like myself, I'm a serious-minded employee, may find it difficult to deal with family conflicts on the job. Another thing they'll find difficult to deal with, limited opportunities for career growth. The third thing they are going to find difficult is how to manage the dynamics of family politics. And the fourth one is how to manage special treatment of certain family members over and above employees who are more or less the ones that lay the golden eggs. This is a major, major distraction and disruptor when it comes to family-owned businesses. Because I'm a son of the owner. I'm a daughter of the owner. You come in. I mean, I see this attitude in some. Trust me, I would not be able to work in a company that has this. First of all, let me put that disclaimer. There is no way in heaven's creation I'll go work in a company when the son of the owner will stroll in any time, and then you order and be, forget it, Irenang is gone. If that is the last job, keep it. That's me. I don't know how some of you cope, but my body system and everything God has given me cannot. Me, at the work here, person go just come saying, I'm the son of owner, cousin of owner. Whether you are the S-O-O, D-O-O, daughter of the owner, or cousin of the owner, any title you carry, that will be in your pocket. Because In such settings, this is where the problem is. There is nothing like career growth. There are limited opportunities. Limited opportunities. And then internal conflicts of the family will be brought there because they are all sitting there. I know of a particular, you know, without calling names, especially within, you know, this was within the media setting. It was all a family thing. And you just wonder, this person passes, oh, that's the chairman's daughter-in-law. When you come here, oh, who is that? That's the chairman's niece. Oh, who is that? Is a cousin to the chairman. Before you move, and everyone has a stake in the business, but they are very unserious. They think they are owners of the business, and what happens? Check the productivity of that business over time wanes, and it's just a shadow of itself. This is why businesses crash. This is why businesses are not sustainable. So, my dear friends, I'm just telling you, these are the pitfalls that come. And so what should you do? Those of you that are just about to start or you are in it, if you are listening to me from Alaba or from Ikoyi or from Songo and or from Obalende and you are a family lead, you are the one they put there to take care of this family business. And today, somebody is going to come and say, it can even be your mother. Sonny, I beg, find me 200 naira, they may appear Okada. Say, Mama, where I will get that from? You never sell. I beg, come out from... That happens. Or one of the sons of the senior, your senior sister's son. Because it's a family business, will just come in and say, brother, auntie said I should come and collect. Mommy said I should come and collect 10,000. You say, from where? Abi Bank? Say, no. Then you now get a phone call. Then your big sister says, I asked Austin to come and collect XYZ. Why have you not given him? Said, auntie, there's no money. The only money I have here is from the sales. He said, hey, remove from there now. This is the starting point. Family business leads should ensure they bring in qualified persons as they become the stabilizing force. So if you are in a family-owned business, here's what I'll do if I were you. I will skew the population of non-family employees to be far larger than the family employees. If you have a business today where the family employees outweigh non-family employees, you non-family employees, pull your ear. If you don't kill a link, you will be killed. You are not going to grow. You know what kill a link means? Run. Because there is nothing called growth for you in that place. But a serious-minded company that is in a family-owned business setting should have non-family employees. The ratio should actually be, I don't know what the ratio should be, but trust me, what I see sometimes can be very frightening. In some cases, some you don't even know. So they should try to bring in qualified persons because those qualified persons will become the stabilizing factor. The second thing they must do while I'll take a break is to conduct exit interviews. If you are sitting now and you're running a family-owned business, you must conduct exit interviews in good faith so that the non-employees or non-family employees that are leaving can tell you what those remote factors are that are impacting your turnover, your business, and your ability to thrive, and make profit. If you don't conduct exit interviews, you will not have feedback to know where the insects are eating the plant. You will think you have a business, but in no time, you will just have the carcass of an open door where everybody is walking in, walking out. You have a beautiful name standing out there. Everybody knows, oh, this name, this family, they're known for this. But inside, it's just carcass. There's nothing there. The day the bankers decide we want to follow up NPLs, non-performing loans, and they come, then you start running helter-skelter. You then wonder why. It's because the structure and the foundation was faulty and it comes from factors like this. So, as we want to step into succession planning and management for family-owned businesses, I thought I should start with telling you the things you should avoid and you should do better from an employment standpoint, from a compensation standpoint, and from a management of the ratio of family to non-family employees. We'll be right back. We'll just take a quick break. And when I get back, I'll open the phone lines. And then if you have any questions, you can call in, share your thoughts, and also tell me some things that I don't know.
This is Navigate with ID.
Brought to you by Corporate Shepherds.
Thank you very much. And it's good to be back on the beat. Just in case you're just joining us, it's Navigate with ID. And an interesting dimension we're looking at. Family-owned businesses, given the theme, succession planning and management. And, you know, friends, we wonder why things don't really go the way they should. It's because we don't plan. We are accidental businessmen. We are accidental traders. We are accidental managers. And more importantly, we're so emotional in everything we do, to the extent that a little seed, that mustard seed called a business, called an idea, conceived within two strong family members, rather than grow to become an oak tree, gets terminated because of certain emotional, sentimental, and all other factors which do not allow professionalism to thrive. Well, we'll still be on this. The lines are buzzing, so let me tend to some of these calls. Lagos Talks, good afternoon.
Hello, Uncle ID. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. Who's calling, sir?
This is Dam Larry.
Yeah, Dam Larry. Calling from
here.
Yeah,
well, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Okay. You see, when you're talking about, you said something earlier. You said most businesses in Nigeria don't outlive their second and third generation. And I sat down and I looked at it, and I think I agree with that 100%. And I took examples of businesses that are thriving hard now, that are doing very well now. And I'm looking at the future of such businesses. I'll make mention of it. I won't mention their names, but with examples, you understand what I'm saying. You have a telecom giant, which is owned by a Nigerian. And I know people that have worked there, and the structure there doesn't show if the owner leaves today, the business can outlive the owner. We have there are some schools around. One major school around Antonie. When the person leaves, the school would not move forward from it. Yeah. And you said something about hiring family members and the like. Me personally, if a family member had a my mom's cousin that wanted to come and work for me, what I did was get the person a job somewhere else. Because when you come and work for me, I won't be able to talk to you the way I should talk to you.
Yeah, I'll talk to you.
Even when I want to lay, if you have done something wrong and I want to lay you off, there are some other people that will come, I'm a battle.
Okay.
You know, things like that I don't even entertain it in my own business. If you want to look for them, I can help you out, but you can't work for me.
Thank you.
You actually can't work for me, because when you work for me, there will be compromising.
Yeah.
And I know you'll still discuss it further.
There's
more to it than just employing your cousin or brother.
Yeah.
Because I know all these big companies that are doing well now, that they don't have a succession plan. And I'm sitting down here wondering, because I have a business also, and to be sincere, I have not thought about what happens when I'm not around.
Now you can think about it.
And to tell you the truth.
Maybe
there's some things that you will learn from you now that would help us.
Thank you. Damn, Larry, you come and attend business school. That one, you will pay for it. It's not free.
I will pay, sir.
Huh?
Of which, sir, I'm going to open my new factory sometime in August. and okay. I'm definitely going to invite you.
I will, with all pleasure, I'll be there by God's grace.
Okay, sir.
Thank you, Damilola.
All right.
Well, friends, if you want to chime in, tell us what you think about succession planning and management. We're looking at FOBs. The numbers to call, 0809-191-3913, 0809-222-0913, and WhatsApp line, also a call line, 0809-234-5913. The lines are buzzing, Eve, so let's try and pick one or two that will come to WhatsApp. Lagos Talks.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Who's calling?
Uncle ID.
Yes, sir.
Afternoon, sir.
I greet you. Who they call?
Yes, sir. My name is Adi. I don't want to use my full name.
It's okay. Even if you use pseudonym.
Well, it depends on the way it is structured. I run a partnership with my brother.
Uh-huh.
And from experience, there are some things that we both have set as a standard. And we keep, we set as a standard that we keep in the business we are doing. Something happened recently. A friend of mine had to give him money to help us to do a particular business that involves us. At the end of the day, I realized that that friend of about 20 years was almost duping me. My brother told me the very truth. That guy, get this money. In fact, he involved my wife, that my wife was telling me that, look, take it easy and other things. But I had to use all the instruments to make sure that I get the money back. Because the principle is there. A tenant of my father sometimes called me to talk to my dad about. If you ask him and tell him that you discussed, what is going to tell you that he will tell you that he will not get involved. The principle is there. Follow the laid down rules.
Absolutely.
If you follow the laid down rules, the company will grow and be successful. Thank you,
Ade. Let's take one or two so that we balance the equation.
Okay.
I didn't call the tweet. No, go on.
Okay. This says, hello, Mr. ID. Where is Concord today? Ebru Fish?
Are you
Oceanic
asking me?
Bank? A lot to mention. I just hope Dangote is paying serious attention from Abayomi. And this says, my name is Babatunde, a teacher, Uncle ID. You are really an epitome of knowledge. You're a blessing to this generation and unborn generation. Mm. I have learned a lot from your program, especially on today's topic, FOB. My Tuesday and Thursday is incomplete without listening to your program, and today's program is really a blessing. My opinion, you are supposed to be the president of this country. With your thought is really an outstanding. You're blessed, Uncle ID. This is my second time of mentioning that statement. It's a matter of time you will become the president. I believe the youth will support your ambition. For me to employ my family members, it is dicey. If you are not competent or having skill, then lastly, qualifications, I will never employ you. Okay.
Thank you very much for the very kind words. Trust God for life.
Yeah.
And may our country grow.
Amen.
And be better in our own time.
Amen.
That's why I believe that there's a new Nigeria in the offing. And that new Nigeria certainly will happen in my lifetime.
Amen.
And you guys are the ones to make it happen. We'll jointly make it happen by God's grace. Let's see. Lines. And folks, just be short because we have so many calls coming in. Lagos Talks?
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Uncle Ivy, this is Mr. John on the line.
Mr. John, thank you for calling. Let's have your thoughts.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry, not all that of what you have just taught us, but I sent you a message through WhatsApp that you should leave me for me to vote, cast my vote. You have not answered my
to cast your vote for. Okay, is this the Institute of Marketing election?
Yes, you contesting for the vice president.
Okay. All right. I will tell my colleagues to answer to you. The answer straight away is, are you a financial member of the Institute of Marketing of Nigeria?
Pardon? Sir?
Are you a financial member of the Institute of Marketing of Nigeria?
No, sir.
Then you can vote. Thank you for wanting to vote for me. It's only financial members that can vote.
Okay.
I really appreciate it. The elections will be from Thursday 9th to 15th, and I'll let you know the outcome. Either way, I win or I don't. At the end of the day, you know, thank you for all the support and for offering to want to vote for me. Just so that, I mean, folks are wondering, why is this so? I'm actually running for the first vice president of my own professional body, Institute of National Institute of Marketing of Nigeria, and the elections are coming up from the 9th to the 15th. It's electronic. And tomorrow we have the presidential debate. So that's probably where he's coming from, just so you may understand. I'm wondering what election. Okay, that's what it is. All right. Lagos Talks. Oh, sorry, we lost that. We have another.
Okay, we have another message here. It says...
yeah, go on.
Okay. Although I do not understand, this says, talk about planned non-succession.
Okay, if the person, whoever sent it, knows my... I do not in any way get myself to try and crack my brain on what you were thinking or not thinking. Sorry, if you want me to answer your questions or comments or comment, make sure you are explicit. If you're not, okay. I'm not going to bother my brains. Lagos Talks. Yes, sir.
Yeah, good evening, sir.
Yes, sir. Who's calling?
My name is Ken, calling from VGC.
Okay, could you turn down the volume of your set, Femi, from VGC?
Yeah, I don't know that.
All right, sir. What's up?
I just want to commend you. I listened to your program working with that. I just want to comment.
Thank you very much.
Good job. I'm talking about the first companies that I've worked with in Nigeria. I think Alabukun. Alabukun is an indigenous product that I built in generation to generation.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, what is the name of the company, Alabukun? It's a Alabukun is a product.
Yes.
So I really don't know the name, but I know the product.
Yes, I said most. I didn't say all. So I said most Nigerian companies. So I need the name of the company. So if you see the product, that tells you. Yeah, it could have been bought, it could have been sold, but I need second generation. It's just a teaser that I'm putting out there just to emphasize the point.
But you're doing a very wonderful job. Well,
no, thank you, Femi. Thank you. God bless you.
Okay, we have a message here. Good afternoon, Uncle ID.
Good afternoon.
God bless you.
And you too.
Sir, for hitting the nail on the point, that's what he says. My late boss business has crumbled and closed because she passed on. And brothers squandered all the profits we were making. But just because they don't want to empower the lady that can handle the business simply because she's not from their family. My name is Favor. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Favor, for sharing a personal experience.
Yeah.
Friends, I tell you, this is real. We have... Oh, okay.
You lost it.
You have... I know that there's this tweet from Oluwaseun. He says, even only one family employee, correct one in parentheses, can ruin a business. I have personal experience. Those who succeed actually allow the family members go through the process and grow through the ranks and across business departments. That's what Oluwaseun is saying. Okay.
Okay.
Well, all right. Lagos Talks, good afternoon.
We lost the call.
We lost the call, okay.
He says, hello, Uncle ID. Hello, Eve. Like you said, most Nigerian companies are emotional or accidental. Please, I want to ask, how can someone turn things around from this state?
Keep listening. This is a moment, and we are looking at it every Tuesday, Thursday. Thursday, I'll be back. I'll extend the frontiers. Today, okay. I looked at one section. Then we'll start stepping into succession planning and management. Then you get every answer. It's a rolling ball, and it will get there somewhere, somehow, by God's grace. Lagos Talks.
Okay.
Okay.
We have more messages.
Yeah, let's take that so that I'll then round up.
Okay. Good afternoon, Uncle ID. The name of the Alabukun is Segun Odulate from Lukman.
Okay, what's the guy's name?
The owner of Alabukun.
Okay, Segun Odulate.
Yes.
Okay.
I guess the guy that called, probably.
No, I'm just asking the company. Alabukun is...
It's a product.
Yeah, it's a product. It's been there forever.
Okay,
I mean,
yes.
Way back. Way, very indigenous.
Okay, and then...
It is. Those days, I can't tell you what we used to do with Alabukun. Yeah. Don't look at me, Eve. Lagos Talks.
Okay, oh, no,
the numbers are... Yeah. Sorry, I don't know what's happening to the lines. Oh, Okay.
This says, James Popola says, good day, Uncle ID.
Yeah,
thank
James.
You for today's topic. I look forward to putting this into practice, sir. I wish you congratulations on your forthcoming election, sir.
Thank you.
Be one with your Debo Etiwole.
Ah, no. They have to Debo.
They have to Debo.
Anyway, friends, just to put some things in context, you know, that is why I was very careful as not to, I'm not mentioning names or companies or anybody.
Yeah.
What my job here is to try to sensitize us on how we are going to build our country again. That every single one of you, whatever small thing you're doing on the side that you call a side hustle, and then you have a member of your family joining you, you're already in an FOB, a family-owned business. Maybe your mom is doing something, some form of trading. I mean, I remember vividly many years ago, you know, I've had the privilege of working for world-class organizations. But I'll tell you one thing. When we sit down and you go into the market and we're looking at our core distributors, majority of them are always women. From Coca-Cola to Cadbury, all the way through, it's always been women. And what it tells you is that woman that is selling, Mama Risi, selling a crate of Coke in that small Face Me, I Face You, she will use the dexterity of that one case multiplied by many cases to send her children to school. And then from there, she moves from one case to selling 10, to selling 50, and ultimately has an SSD, a strategic sales depot. And the next thing you find her being a major distributor. The little things that you are starting with, do not despise them. I just want you to understand that putting the right structure behind it, don't get emotional, don't get sentimental, and just putting and learning that that little thing that you are looking down on tomorrow can become an oak tree. That tree will then become the fruit that will heal many nations. And this country can afford to make it happen. I know we have several businesses in several bellies, several ideas, several concepts. Many of you that are about to incubate are in the incubator or have brought them out. Just know that there are some things you must do so you don't fall into the unsavory hands of the past. And that's why we are bringing this to your notion. All right, so on Thursday, I'll be back as we look at this same topic, succession planning and management, with a special focus on family-owned businesses. After that, we'll roll the die into other forms of businesses, and hopefully you'll learn it one thing or the other. And God bless each and every one of us.
Amen.
So, Eve, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I'll be back by His grace on Thursday, and trust God for the best.
Oh, yeah.
Bye, thank you.